Hallelujah. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. It's been a busy time, busy season. Pray that everyone had a great holiday and remember the reason for the season. We had a great Christmas program, which was awesome last week. And I just want to, once again, thank everyone who had participated in that, our leaders and helpers and the food downstairs after. Tanya and her helpers did a great job with the food. And it's just, I just want to say thank you, Calvary Gospel, because one person doesn't do it. We all do it together by the grace of God. And it was just an awesome program. Thank you for supporting it and coming out. And we always look forward. And Olga and Valentina and her team of leaders just did an amazing, amazing job. And then we have people that set up all the sets. I know Justin did some work on the back there. Just everyone, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know the church really appreciates that. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I just want to remind you, our four-year-olds, it's a new ministry that just started in October. So, you know, we just want to let you know, God has been faithful. He is always faithful. But it was really, he's been so faithful of being able to bring leaders here to this church and be able to cover, you know, every ministry, every age group, for children starting off in nursery to our four-year-olds, which they don't have a name yet. So I'm trying to encourage them to get a name for the four-year-olds. I think they had a name, but then I kind of like cringed, and so they didn't do the name. I can't say it. Okay. So they're working on a name. So we have nursery and four-year-olds, and then we have Kids Connect, K through 6, and then we have Sprout, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and then we have Elevate, 9th to whenever. I don't think we have to college age. And so God has just blessed this church. And not one person does this, but the church does this. The body of Christ does this. And so, again, as pastor, my wife and I just say thank you to everyone who just hears the cry of the people and hears God's voice and say, hey, send me. I'll do it. I'll go. I'll lead. And so we're just very thankful. I just want to just let everybody know, because we're going towards the end of the year, and I was in the office before we came out, and Ben was praying, and he said in his prayer, God, you've given us more than we deserve, or something like that. Yeah. God has blessed Calvary Gospel, and he does it through all of us. And so I just want to say thank you. Last Sunday, this is the last Sunday of the year, and we're going into a new year. And the new year is 2020. And this one's from Leah. 2020 vision. We're going after 2020 vision. Not the physical vision, but the spiritual vision. We want to see Jesus and how he sees it through his lens and focus on this coming year, 2020. And so to do that, the Lord gave me this title, It's Not How We Start, But It's How We Finish. Hey, walking as a believer, a Christian, is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is not just a 100-yard dash. It's not even a 440 relay. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. We are walking this. We are running this. We are going with Jesus for the long haul. And so it's not how we start, but it's how we finish. If you're going to finish, you've got to keep running until you reach the finish line. There is a finish line. That's when God calls us home. I know that's disappointing for some of you because you thought it was age 50 or maybe age 62 or maybe even age 30. But it's not. It's when Jesus calls you home. And so we're going to run this race. And I found this story, and maybe some of you maybe would have remembered this. In 1968 Olympics, an hour after the marathon's winner crossed the finish line, Tanzania's John Stephen, and I'm not going to get the last name pronounced right, Akwari, limped across the finish line, injured in a fall earlier in the race. Out of 74 participants, 17 could not finish the race. At 7 p.m., it was almost an hour since all the marathon runners had crossed the finish line of a 26-mile Olympic marathon. In the grueling hot day, suddenly a lone runner wearing the colors of Tanzania emerged through the stadium gate, literally hobbling. While he was running, he had fallen down. He had badly hurt himself. He was bleeding. His knee had got dislocated from the joint. Considering the severity of his injuries, he was repeatedly asked to quit the race, but he denied. He fell, dragged himself, ran in between, but finished the marathon limping over the line. His body was exhausted, but not his spirit. He never won any Olympic gold medal, but he became the greatest example of never give up spirit. Come on, that's Calvary Gospel. Never give up spirit. We're here now only because there was a church that never gave up. We're not here because of the last 5 years of Sister Debbie and I. This church is here from the very conception of 1963, when Saidi Adore started this church, and then as people came, as God started to build this church, he found prayer warriors, he found intercessors, he found people that said, we're going to keep these doors open, we're going to go after God, we're going to go after his vision, we're going to start seeing 2020 vision through God's lens, a spirit that wouldn't give up. That's why we're here. So I just want to say, when he was asked the reason of doing this crazy act, he replied, I love this, my country did not send me 10,000 miles just to start the race. My country sent me to finish the race. Are we going to finish the race? That's the question. We all have started the race because we're all here. But will we finish the race? There's going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises. There's going to be scrapes. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's even going to be things maybe even worse than that because we've read it all through the Scripture. But Paul is so great at, hey, we're going to run the race. We're going to finish the race. And he's waiting for the crown. He's waiting for the God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hey, come on, Calvary. Are we going to finish the race? Because we're all here, started the race, but we need to finish the race. That's the key to this whole thing. My country did not send me here to run the race. He sent me here to finish the race. Great grandparents, grandparents, parents, they're all praying that each one of us will finish the race. And so this morning I want to talk about that. I want to go into 2020 is with finishing strong. We can finish strong. And so I want to start reading from Philippians chapter 4. It's a well-known verse. I've probably preached on it, and 100 pastors have preached on it. But I want to take some things out of Philippians chapter 4, and I want to be able to say to us, this is how we need to finish the race. This is how we need to stay strong. Walk into the new year in this way. So let's start off with Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start off with verse 4. And here's Paul is writing this letter while he's in prison. And we know Paul's goal was to finish his walk faithfully and strong. You know, when we read about Paul and his letters to the churches, and we can take this letter ourselves. And so Paul was encouraging the church also to finish strong. Paul's whole life was, hey, we're going to finish strong and I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk this through with you. So verse 4, we've all read this verse. We've talked about it. We've preached on it. And we hear other people talk about it. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, when my first point here is how we're going to go into the new year, how we're going to finish strong in 19 and walk into 2020, is the first thing is we need to restore our joy. We need to restore our joy because we live in a very negative world. We live in a world where people say there is no joy, there is no happiness, there is no peace. You know, we hear all the negative news, but in this scripture, Paul says, hey, I'm in prison. I'm writing this to the church. I want to encourage you to restore your joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Paul can say rejoice always because his joy was not based on his circumstances. Your joy cannot be based on your circumstances. Your joy is based on Jesus Christ. So Jesus has become the object of Paul's joy. What is the object of your joy? Is it circumstances? Is it trials? Is it tribulations? Is it your schooling? Is it your work? Is it your retirement? What's the object of your joy? Because once the object of your joy is not Jesus, you are going to struggle to find joy. So we need to restore our joy, and that is our object is Jesus Christ. Now, we are adopted. When you receive Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. We are His children. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. That is why we rejoice. That's why Paul rejoiced. See, joy is not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of obedience. That's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's a command. It's not if you're feeling good or if things are going okay, if things are fine, to rejoice. When you read this, Paul is commanding, rejoice in the Lord and always rejoice. When we go through trials, we're treated unfairly, disappointed by people or circumstances, the choice to rejoice sometimes will go against how we feel, right? I mean, we're in the trenches. This is reality. You know, I like reading this because Paul's not writing this letter from a palace. He's writing this letter from prison. And when you read some of his scriptures, he's been beaten, he's been shipwrecked, he's poor, he's hungry, he's naked. He's been beaten with rods, and that's where he's writing this from. His object, he rejoices because of his Lord. We need to follow the command to rejoice or we will get swept away by our feelings. That's what happens. That's what happens when we say, I just don't feel happy. I just don't feel like I should rejoice. I can't rejoice. It's okay to be honest. But then we have to step back and say, hey man, my feeling isn't there. But Jesus is not a feeling. Jesus is a person. And so Paul is writing this not from a palace. He's writing this from prison. And he's saying your circumstances do not dictate your object of faith. It's Jesus. We need to follow the command to rejoice or we will get swept away by our feelings. Now, there's nothing wrong with feelings because there's things that happen in people's lives that are terrible. No one's ever denying it. Paul does not deny that. Jesus doesn't deny that. Life, sometimes, is we are dealt a bad hand. But even Paul was dealt a bad hand. Jesus was dealt a bad hand. I always like saying, Jesus, he was perfect, he was holy, he never sinned, and he had every right to say, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. He even said to God, hey, God, if it's not, you know, not my will but yours, okay, I'll do it, okay? But his goal was you and I. What is your goal? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? And I like how Paul says, always, at all times, in every season of your life. See, rejoicing even points to the future. Joy should be the distinguishing mark for every Christian. Think about it. Is that your mark? Is that your birthmark? Is that what's tattooed on you? When someone walks by you, do they feel the presence of Jesus? Because this is what Romans 14:17 says. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a mark, a distinguishing mark of a believer. Joy, rejoicing. So we're not denying problems. We're not denying tribulations. We're not denying trials, because you can read in James, trials and perseverance. We persevere, we endure, our faith is built up and everything. So we're not denying that. What we're saying is, what's your object? You rejoice because of Jesus. He's our object. And I like that. If you can put that back up there. Joy should be the distinguishing mark of every Christian. It has to be. It's scriptural. Jesus was joy. Even everything he went through. Number two, revive your prayer life. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Reviving your prayer life. He says, but in everything, always pray. Always give your request to God. See, our prayer life should be something that we're just talking to God. We're talking to God all the time. And so sometimes our prayer life is, demanding God to do something, or, we pray, Lord, heal my body, because I know, God, you're the healer, and deliver me from this, and Lord, I need a promotion, or I need this, or I need that. Our prayers tend to go one way, but I want to help us this year as we go into 2020, is our prayer life should be a communication with God, a two-way communication, where we're asking God, hey, God, how do you feel about me today? How do you feel about me today? I'm struggling with something, God. But I know how much you love me. Tell me how you feel about me, even in my struggle. That's a prayer we don't pray all the time, because we're afraid to pray to God and ask him how he feels. We're afraid to pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, how do you feel about me today? Because we've been conditioned that God is a God of judgment. God is a God of condemnation. Romans 8:1, we know there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So we tend not to go to God and start asking God how he feels, because we think he's going to respond on how we feel about ourselves. Jesus does not look at you in the same way you look at yourself, or else he never would have went to the cross. Think about it. This is a God that sent his son, and he loved us so much, knowing that we are going to be born into sin, that we are born sinners. Our nature is to sin. But Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to take all that punishment so that you can understand freedom in Jesus. You can have eternal salvation. This is the God that I can go to God and say, hey, God, how do you feel about me today? Because I know you went to the cross. I know you love me. But even though I'm struggling with something, how do you feel? I want to help us pray a different prayer this year. Instead of, going to God and saying, not being afraid to ask God how he feels about you. God, I'm struggling with something. Or God, I have a decision to make. What do you think about these decisions that I have to make? We need to talk to God. We need to communicate to God. Ask Jesus how he feels. Are we listening to God? That's a totally different prayer. How many of us pray and then take like 10 minutes and just sit in the quiet? Jesus, I just want you to speak to me now. Speak to me. I want to hear your voice. A lot of times we don't do that. Sometimes we just kind of get sidetracked. But revive your prayer life in every season of your life. You are talking and listening to Jesus in every season. See, sometimes when we're going through something in our life that's not lining up with Jesus, we tend to not pray, or we tend to, kind of skirt around it and not really spend a lot of time because we feel like God is going to hammer us. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the God that's in the Word of God. He came to love us. He came to give us life. I always like it when I read, and I always remember as I'm reading, Jesus didn't come because we were bad to make us good. We were dead, the Bible says, and he made us alive. Think about that. But see, we were conditioned. You were bad. So Jesus came to make you good. And if you think that way, then when are you good? Well, I could be good better than Ben. Ben could be better than Oleg. Danny could be think he's better than Kent. So where does better go? But when we all know we're dead, there's only you only can come alive. There's no degree of life. It's life. And so Jesus came and says, hey, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now I've come to give you life. That's why revive your prayer life. Understand that you can talk to this Jesus. You can ask him, how do you feel? Hey, what does it look like when you and I spend time together? Tell me what that looks like. He may say to you, let's go to a park and sit and just talk to each other. We would never think to ask Jesus that. Because we've been conditioned that Jesus is holy and righteous and pure, and we preach on it and we teach on it. It's like, I can't get close to that Jesus, but guess what? Jesus got that close to you. It's not about you getting close to Jesus. It's about you remembering that Jesus came after you and I. Let's revive our prayer life. It's not, I love our prayer times on Wednesday night. I encourage you to come on Wednesday night. It's a small group of people, a small group of us, that just pray. We just pray. We intercede for all of you, for the church, our leaders, our government, our president, our board, our elders, for Sister Debbie and I, for our ministries. We pray for a whole hour. Sometimes I talk a little bit, and it gets extended a little. But I encourage you to come. I encourage you just to cry out to God with us and say, God, what do you have for 220? What do you have? What's the vision? We want to be there. We want to be where you are. We need to revive our prayer life. And it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ. While you are praying, and the peace of God will guard your heart. You know what that word guard means? It means to protect. It's a military term, military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants in a city, not letting them out. So that's Jesus. When we're praying, we're reviving our prayer, we're talking to God, we're listening to God. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all, and we don't understand that peace of God. We don't understand God. But he will guard your heart. He will protect you. He will guard you. He will be there. He will surround you. Hallelujah. Our prayers don't go in vain. He's guarding you. He's guarding those prayers. Man, that is a God that I want to pray to. I want to talk to. He's guarding us. The peace of God steadies you and keeps you on course. Prayer gives you the peace of God. So when you come to pastor and say, I don't have peace in my life, the Bible says, pray. Talk to him. Spend time with him. Listen to him. Because the peace of God will guard your heart. Number three, how are we staying strong, finishing strong? We're going to reclaim our thoughts. Man, there's a lot of things going on in this brain. There's a lot of stuff entering here in all of us. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Think about this. What is your filter? We all have filters. Filters on furnaces, air filters in a car, oil filters in a car. We have filters for everything, for the computer. But how many of us have set a filter up in our mind? Wow. Sometimes we don't think about that. We have filters for everything. And here's your filter. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, the Bible says God is true. The Bible says God cannot lie, and he made known his truth by his word. Then he says, whatever is honorable, whatever inspires reverence or awe, worthy of respect. Then he says, whatever is just, that just means righteous. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Whatever is pure, Christ. Whatever is lovely, I think of the cross. What Jesus did on the cross for you and I. Think about that. Whatever is commendable, speaking well of others. This is our filter. What is your filter? What are you using as a filter? So Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure and lovely, commendable, whatever is excellent, is there anything worthy of praise? Think about those things. What are you thinking about in 2020? What are you thinking about? As we end the 19 and go into 2020, what is your filter going to be? This is the filter we need to think of. Truth, honor, pure, lovely, commendable, excellence, worthy. And then he says, to practice. How many of us practice these things? Wow. You know, you think about it. We read these scriptures all the time, and there are a lot of people use these scriptures, and they just start blurting them out as pastors. But this is really deep. This is our filter as a believer. This is our filter. Practice. Are we putting these things into practice? Operating through those filters, we get the God of peace. He will be with us. He will be with us. If we don't control our thoughts will control us. Think about that. Our thoughts, if we don't control it, our thoughts will control us. See, we all know that there's a spiritual world out there. The enemy wants to control. The enemy wants come steal, kill, and destroy. We know that. See, we know the verses, especially if you've been in church long enough. I mean, we can recite those verses. John 3:16, you know, John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. You know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror. If God is before us, who can be against us? See, we're good at quoting scripture, but are we good at practicing scripture? Paul says, you need to practice this stuff because you can quote it all you want, but if you're not practicing it, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If we don't control our thoughts will control us. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. Why? To obey Christ. We don't take thoughts captive so that we can just run with them ourselves, or it's all about me, or it's all about you. No, everything that we're doing is to the obedience of Christ. He's pure. He's truth. He's honorable. He's just. He's righteous. He's lovely. He's commendable. We need to practice those things. That's when you take every thought captive, when you start practicing, not just quoting scripture. I know a lot of people, in fact, I know a lot of people that can quote probably a whole chapter of the Bible. I'm sure you know people like that. But are they practicing what they're preaching? Because when you start practicing this, now you understand who Jesus is, because Jesus lived this. And so God's asking us, hey, you want to finish strong and you want to move into 2020 with an understanding of faithfulness? Start practicing these things. And then I like Jesus, how he even goes a little farther. Take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Obey Christ. The Sermon on the Mount. That's always the zinger, right? Hey, I don't murder. I don't do all those things. But what's Jesus said? He goes a little bit farther and he says, you know, it says don't commit murder, but if you get angry with someone, you will be judged. I don't commit adultery, but may look at a woman once in a while and lust after her. Well, what's Jesus say? Hey, we're going to take this one step farther. Hey, that's great you don't commit adultery, but what's your thought process? What are you thinking when you see another woman or another man? Hey, we need to practice this. We need to take every thought. So like Jesus says, hey, that's cool that you don't murder someone, but are you angry with someone? Are you upset with someone? Are you holding a grudge against someone that you can't forgive them? You know? So control your thoughts. This is how we're going to finish strong. And the third one is renew your desire. Renew your desire. Be content. Here's another verse that we use all the time. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, we quote that all the time. Hey, you know, you might have a son or daughter in sports, and, you know, they're getting ready for the game, and you say to them, hey, Johnny, you can do all things through Jesus Christ. I don't know if it was really meant for that. Now, I love football. You know that. I love college football. And I spent some time yesterday watching college football. And both of my teams won. So, but Clemson, the coach, he's a believer. And, you know, he gets up there and goes, I just thank my mighty God for this win. And I said to myself, well, are there any Christians on the Ohio State football team? Because they lost. So, you know, we like to, and I'm not saying anything against Dabo, I think that's his last name, for Clemson. He's a great guy. And he's a good man. He's a believer. But I like, we're just going to quote scripture. Hey, I think this, you know, we stand up and go, I thank my almighty God. You can thank your almighty God. You better thank your almighty God that you're still standing after that game. Because there's a lot of them that are limping off. But I'm not going to thank God for the win because I feel bad for Ohio State. They have a bunch of Christians there too. So like God just decided to say, you know, so what I want to say to us as a church, if you're going to quote a scripture, make sure you practice that scripture. Make sure it applies to your life. Make sure you apply it to your life. And so we go into this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say that all the time. But now let's back up two verses. Verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. To be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. Man, Paul's really like hammering this home now. He's not saying maybe. He's not saying once in a while. He's not saying if you feel it. He's not saying when you're happy. He's hitting the hammer, and he's hitting the nail, and he's saying every circumstances. I have learned the secret. When you read something that says, I've learned the secret, we need to listen. Of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, do we want to go through all those things and then use that verse? Because Paul's practicing what he's preaching. Hey, no matter if I'm beaten, if I'm with rods, in prison, starving, naked, being robbed, being shocked. Guess what? In every circumstance, I know how to be content. That's a practice. That's really getting this down. Because we can quote, I can do all things, but do you want to do all things when you're shipwrecked? You know, are you content when you're shipwrecked? Are you content when your boss comes and says, the company's closing down and there is no more work for you? Are you content when your child is sick and you're taking them to the doctor? Are you content when they just ran off with your 401k? Are you content when the stock market drops? Are you content when the housing market crashed? Are you content when you're trying to come to church and your car doesn't start? Are you content when your marriage is struggling? Paul says, in every circumstance. See, we like to quote scripture. I can do all things. There's times when I'm honest with God.
God.
There are times when I'm honest with God, where I need to be more honest more times and say, God, that's a hard pill to swallow. God, help me, not in my unbelief, because I believe you, but help me to walk through those times and be content. Now, do we want to finish strong? Yes, we do. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. And these are the key things that's going to help this church, us as a church, walk into 2020 and say, hey, church, we're going to be content no matter where God brings us and how He brings us through it and when He brings us through it. No matter what it is, we are going to understand and learn, I can do all things. Calvary can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Now, I don't want to go through those things. I don't want to go through poverty. I don't want to go through shipwrecks. I don't want to be beaten. But Paul understood, and for us to stay strong and to finish strong, we need to know when we're going through something, is your object of faith, is your object of joy, Jesus Christ? Because if it is, we're going to go in 2020, in a few more days, and we're going to conquer next year. God has great things for this church. But we need to understand that there's work that we're going to be doing all through this year. We can do this. You can do this. See, we misuse that verse a lot. Paul is saying, I have learned the secret. Have we learned the secret? Have you learned the secret? It's no more secret. It's there. Content. Strong enough, this is what that word means, strong enough or possessing enough to need no aid or support. I'm going to read that again. Strong enough, possessing enough to need no aid or support, independent of external circumstances, is all I need is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, my Redeemer, my Lord, my sin bearer, my resurrection of life. I don't need anything else. That's content. Let's get awful quiet, guys. That's content. We can do this. Why? Because it wouldn't have been written in here if we couldn't do it. We're going to do this with Jesus. Calvary is going to do this with Jesus. And so I'm going to end with this. Very simple. Application. Are we content with Jesus Christ? Is He enough for you and I? It's a very simple question. Is He enough for you and I? Now, to finish strong, He has to be. He has to be. That's what I want us to think about as we go into the next year. When we are secure in Christ, in all things, we are one with Him. When we're secure in Christ, we are united with Him. But if you're not secure with Him, it's this constant battle. I know He loves me. I know I'm a believer. I know I'm going to heaven. I know, but I want heaven on earth, and you can have that when Jesus is the sole object of your joy. Are you content with Jesus? Our thoughts will be His thoughts. And here's the key. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. Promise. Our actions will be like His actions. That's the key. Will we do the same thing that Jesus still does? Are we content? Hallelujah. Why don't you just think about that for a second? I'm not going to just rush and I want you to think about it. Just take a minute. Hey, Mark, can you just come up, Mark? I want to just, You can go on the piano, you can go on your guitar, just something very softly. I don't see Alina. Is Alina up here, downstairs? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I just want us to think about this. You know, this isn't just a feel-good, happy message, and hey, Sunday morning, I'm here, and okay, pastor's all done, let's get out and get some coffee, because we have awesome coffee and desserts. I love this church, man. I must have gained weight coming to this church. Man, you guys are awesome. Let's just take a minute. Let's just stand. I'm not going to belabor it, but I want you to just concentrate on the things we said as we walk into 2020, because we want that type of vision where we're envisioning what Jesus envisions, what Jesus sees. This is really a personal time. We're just going to take a couple minutes, but it's a personal time. You can put, hey, Max, can you put those 4 points up back on the board? You know, if you need to, you know, you can keep your eyes open and just look at those 4 points. And just say, hey, Lord, do I need to restore my joy? Maybe I need to revive my prayer life. I got to work on the thoughts, a new filter, and renew my desire to be content. So let's just take a minute. You pray to yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because you're an awesome God. You don't have this in the Word because it's hard to do, or, you know, you have it here because we can do this. And sometimes we don't preach it and teach it enough as, these are commands. These are commands. Paul's saying, rejoice. Be content. Revive your prayer life. Sometimes we don't look at the Word of God as a command because we don't like authority. We don't like to be told what to do. But I'm telling you, if we don't get this correct, it will be a very dysfunctional vision as we walk into 2020. This is personal time. Just take a minute. If you've never talked to Jesus in a way of, hey, Jesus, how do you feel about me? What would a day look like you and I spending it together? Where do you want me to go with you today? I'm doing this because once you leave here, the world is going to attack you. You're going to forget about this. But I want to give you time. Jesus wants to give you time to start rearranging some of your thoughts. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given us today. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and honor of being here, that you've called my wife and I here to this church. You're not done with this church. I feel even stronger than ever after this word that we are going to finish strong. Everyone here has started the race. And everyone here, we're going to pray, will finish the race and bring more along with us. Lord, that you would bring the increase as we plant seeds, because that's what the scripture says. Some plant, some water. But God, you're going to bring the increase. Help us, Lord, to adjust our life. These aren't the only 4 things that'll keep us strong as we walk into 2020. These are just a portion of it. But God, we want your vision so strong that we are so united as a church that we can storm the gates of hell. Go where no man has gone. do the things that people say, you as a church can't do that. Well, guess what? My Jesus can. Now when we quote the scripture, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We understand that we will be content in every season as we quote that scripture. Because really, every season is victory. It's just sometimes we don't see it as victory, we see it as a struggle. But we're learning because you're still with us. See, for a God who never leaves us or forsakes us, that means we're always in victory. We're always in victory. It just might be a little bit longer battle. Or it might be just a little bit longer walk. Might be a little bit longer struggle. But we're already victorious because of you. And we're always keep that in front of us. This church is open because, Jesus, you've gone before us. And we will stay united as you go before us in this next year. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. Thank you, God, for the ones that aren't even here yet, that you're calling, that you're bringing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our only object of joy, that we will keep our eyes on you as we enter this new year. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody. Shake someone's hand you don't know or haven't seen. Come down and have a cup of coffee and fellowship.